sullen acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And, of course, my brother, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him. And,
yep. Most regrettable.
Let's hit it. Let's hit it. Let's get it. Regrettable. Yeah. Podcast.
Let's hit it, dude. Copyright. Stale cracker.
Yeah.
2022.
Yeah. Well, unfortunately, I don't know if those things are exactly copyrightable, so I'm certain we're going to see Stale Cracker 2 or something come out. Some guy who just did it better and shorter and yeah. More. Yeah.
Stale Cracker 2, the Electric Boogaloo.
Yeah. We can't say that.
We can't say that.
Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah.
We lost that right. Stale Cracker 2, Electric on the Bayou.
There you go.
Yeah. Oh, man. Well, we're here.
Yeah,
we're
I queer. Ruined it already. Sorry.
Yeah, it's all right.
Gone.
Yep.
I can see it right on his face. Just, wham. Yeah. I hate you.
Well, I have to cut out Boogaloo now. Already. Start writing.
Yeah. Didn't even press record. Disaster.
Yeah. Already. Yeah, absolutely. Yes. Well, we're here, and we got nothing to talk about today, so we're just going to launch right into it.
Yeah, I was like too busy with work to be busy with this.
Yeah, to prep for this.
Yeah.
Yeah, me too. You have local news to report on.
Like big
Why do you
stuff
squint your eyes at me when you say that?
Local
and you
news.
Squint, yeah, you're squinting at him, you're squinting at me?
Yeah.
Oh, Squinty.
Dang, yeah, what did we do to this man?
Squinting. I know. Tyler Squinty Massey.
Squinting Rampage Jackson. That's right.
Big dude.
I guess don't sneeze around that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
That's what I learned today.
Sneeze my interview.
Just sneeze my. You hold it.
Yes, sir. Well, man, I don't know. I just want to launch right in. I lost my cats. Cats are gone.
I thought it was slang for something. Lost my cats, you know.
Lost my marbles.
Yeah.
Kind of like that.
Yeah.
No, the cats are gone. So I come home Friday night. My door's just open. Cats are gone.
Oh, no.
It was a hit. It was definitely a
hit job.
A hit job, dude. Somebody came in.
Not a he job.
Conspiracy.
No,
a
he job.
A feline conspiracy.
Yeah. By the way, I keep seeing this thing, history, that's supposed to be.
Her story. Is what you mean.
That's what I'm talking about. Yeah. Let's just stop.
Or it-story.
That's another one. It-story.
Yeah.
You don't say
that just rolls off the tongue, don't it?
Yeah. You don't say history because it's only chronicling the story of him.
Man.
Yeah. Of winners.
Of man.
Yeah, man.
Of winners.
Sorry about that. Sorry, we've been winning for so long.
Yeah. And now we're the most oppressed group in this nation.
Yeah.
White men.
Yeah.
My gosh. Can't say anything. No, so earlier I've gotten trolled too. I got trolled earlier today.
That was pretty funny.
The troll got trolled.
Yeah, I got trolled.
Super
so
trolled.
We were on the radio show talking about the fascinating topic of Idi Amin and Yaphet Kotto playing him and whatnot. And so I was like, you know what? I'm going to just look a little Googling. I don't even know how Idi Amin died.
Yeah.
So I was like, let's look at it.
How
and
to
I started.
Spell it.
Or
in exile of natural causes.
Yes, which is not great. That's not a, you know.
No, not as a dictator. It should like he should be blown up, you know, by a bomb planted by maybe a colonel in your army or something who wanted. He's tired that you're maybe not extreme enough.
And
but
I know
to die of natural causes as a dictator seems like you were successful at everything, and you weren't able to be caught later.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, you weren't like hung at the Nuremberg trials
or
something.
Right.
Know?
There was no what do they call that?
The ICC?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or the
International Criminal Court?
Right.
Or something like
that.
I'm
trying to think of what they called it, like, I don't remember. But you're saying.
The Hague, right?
Is that it?
Yeah.
The Hague.
Yeah.
That's like the persecution of other Nazi type thing. Or what am I thinking of? Like all the Nazis that escaped Europe after during the war, went to Argentina and stuff, and people were trying to find them.
Oh, Mossad. Yeah, the Israeli special forces.
Yeah.
Yeah, they had like a decades long. It still goes to this day. They still, it was like last year, they...
Shoah? What is that? What is Shoah?
Well, you have the Shoah Foundation, which is like a pro-Israeli, like a lobbyist organization.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I don't know what the hell I'm thinking of.
Yeah.
But yeah, that. You know,
there's multiple.
Right.
And some a lot more overt.
Yeah.
And many more, much more covert.
Right. So you have Idi Amin just dying in Saudi Arabia,
yeah,
like of natural causes, because he got exiled. So Idi Amin, while he, from what I read today, he killed upwards of could be 500,000 people, like in his reign, you know. He attacked,
Tanzania?
Tanzania. Tanzania?
Tanzania.
Yeah, and Tanzania.
You mean Tanzania?
Yeah. There we go.
I'll edit it.
To make you correct me.
I can still be the smart one in the
Yes, absolutely. I'll always make that. Jotting it down.
Yeah.
No. So he was like, you know what? I'm going to take a little Tanzanian land. And Tanzania's dude was like, and he just invaded and successfully first try just ousted Idi Amin. So.
That's funny.
Pretty bad dictator, as far as it goes.
He stunk.
But it's Uganda. Okay, right. You know, I mean.
So in this case, he was allowed to live because he sucked so bad
at
what he did.
Yeah, they felt bad.
It's okay, just let him live.
Get out of here.
My favorite part, well, I mean, there's so many good parts about the famous, depending on which side, of the raid on Entebbe when Israel went and rescued all those hostages it was a PLO, it was Algerian terrorist, somebody, some North African or Levant-based terrorist group hijacked this flight, and it was redirected to Uganda, I think to the airport outside, like Luanda or something, and because Idi Amin was like, just come on down here, man. I'll host y'all. We'll take care of these hostages.
We'll take some hostages, sure.
Yeah. We are the international hostage destination. You know, that's what we're trying to make Uganda, you know.
Book a trip today.
Yes. But one of my favorite parts was that during the raid, so what had happened is that the Israelis secretly flew, I think it was 3 C-130s, they flew no more than like 30 meters off the ground, less than 100 feet from the ground, so they could fly under the radar of the Ugandan radar. And then they landed at the
Ugandan
airport.
Ugandan radar only goes up 100 feet.
It's like some dude wearing a bush skirt, like looking up from a hill. That's their radar. You can take that part out if you need to.
Oh, God.
No,
Patrick.
No, don't. It's fine.
All right.
It's Uganda.
Okay. Bush skirts.
Yeah. All right. But in any case, 3 C-130s flew in, landed at the Entebbe airport, and C-130s, it's a transport.
It's a big one.
It's not designed. Yeah, it's big. Yeah. It's not hard to miss, you know. It has very limited defense capabilities besides like flares that it can launch to confuse a heat seeking missile or something. But any case, the Israeli commandos knew that. Once they take off with the rescued hostages, that the first thing Uganda is going to do is going to scramble its air force, and so they went and they destroyed every single MiG and Ugandan fighter or combat aircraft that was at the airport, pretty much in one go, like talking in like 20 minutes, destroyed the entire Ugandan air force.
Oh, dang.
Man,
yeah,
and Israeli defense—they're so good, man.
Don't f- with them.
You don't mess with them,
all right?
Yeah. Is the correct term to not.
I like how it's like you bring one hostage, get half off your ticket.
Yeah.
Like a can of beans now.
Yeah, that's right.
I don't like swearing, but in that case, I will.
It's necessary.
God bless the Israeli commandos.
That's right. Well, the reason I brought that up is because I did a little Googling. The first thing I saw was why Donald Trump and Idi Amin are similar. And I was like, okay, Idi Amin, you know, pretty bad dictatorship soaked in blood and in Africa, you know, and like not much. And he was a real goof, you know. So goof is the only thing, I think. And then you got billionaire TV star guy, president of the United States with, you know, limited controversy. I mean, there's plenty of chips in the cookie for him, but nothing like, you know.
He said a lot of dumb things, but he didn't like stick a tire around somebody's neck and light it on fire as a form of execution.
Yeah.
You know, Idi Amin mastered a lot of very brutal techniques as far as, you know, maintaining control over your country.
Yeah, and Idi Amin brutalized his wife, so that's another thing that Trump might have in common with him. Not violent, just
allegedly.
Shamefully.
I got a spray tan on me. So not alike. But then I saw another thing where Benny Hill did a joke back on his show in the 70s about Idi Amin, and he wore blackface for it. You know, regrettable. You know, it doesn't fly in today's time. Didn't age well.
You mean regrettable?
Regrettable. Ding, 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 ding. But I saw somebody's, it was a Twitter, it was like, so just learned that Benny Hill, you know, used blackface and played Idi Amin. Benny Hill's relatives should apologize to Idi Amin's relatives.
And
that's what I said. So I went to this, I'm going to pull it up. Do you mind?
Please.
I'm going to pull it up, and I went to this Twitter profile. Now, again, I'm basing this all off of the I got trolled. So I found this. It was fantastic. Let me see this here. I'm pulling it up. Should have had this ready to go, you know, but whatever. I highly recommend this Twitter account. It's Titania McGrath.
Oh, yeah, that's 136 on the chart of the periodic table,
right? That's right. That's right. Activist, healer, radical intersectionalist poet, non-white, ecosexual, pronouns variable, selfless and brave, by my books. That's her thing.
Ecosexual? I haven't sex with her.
Non-white? What's that?
You can't call her. She said variable, right?
Oh, yeah. Pronouns variable. So I'm looking through her stuff, and I'm getting triggered about how triggered this person is.
Yeah.
I'm like, this is insane. Until I scroll down far enough to find that clearly this is a troll, a very popular one, by the way, like a ton of followers, yeah. Always ton of likes and stuff on there. Like, for example, this one: the only reason white people have children is so they can stimulate the experience of owning a slave. Let me find
the one.
Are
you sure?
I'm positive. This is here
we
go.
I know a few people like that.
It's a false flag operation.
Yes, yes. Let me try and find the one that made me know for sure that this.
While you're doing that, I just gotta say, ecosexual. All I can picture now is having sex with crawdad mounds.
Don't say you haven't wanted to do that.
Oh shit!
They look tasty.
It's nature's anus.
Oh my goodness.
Also make perfect ashtrays too.
Yeah, yeah. Let me find it. Oh my gosh, I'm trying to do
perfect
this.
Perfect fireball if you.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh yeah, yeah. I play a game at my house. If I like pee outside, how many crawdad holes can I fill up with pee before I go?
And do you ever imagine like the crawdad just
because I hate them. They're tearing up my yard. Yeah, I'll piss all over them.
Yeah.
Steaming.
I'm warming them up a little.
Here's the one that made me realize it's a troll account. When black people enact whiteness, they intensify its toxicity. This is why black white supremacy is even whiter than white white supremacy.
Does that make it purple or something?
I don't know. It just made me laugh. So I started scrolling down this, and oh my God, I was laughing so hard. This is like the greatest Twitter account I've ever found. And this one, I'll do one more. It's a video of a black gentleman explaining why we shouldn't just always act like we're oppressed, rise above, blah, blah, blah. By denying that he is oppressed, this man is enacting whiteness. How can we possibly fight racism when black people won't do what they're told?
Okay. All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
That
so
one's a given.
I 100% recommend this one because it's just hilarious. And everyone has comments from both sides, people being like, yeah. And people being like oh, my gosh, this is, you know.
Can't believe you would say that.
Yeah.
Well, the other one that I will recommend just real quickly on the subject of Twitter is this guy that he's like a college student who he has a Twitter account dedicated to tracking Elon Musk's flight patterns, his private jet or whatever. And he's like, all right, now he's flying to Uganda today, you know.
Right.
And I guess that it's been such a pain in the arse for Elon Musk that Elon Musk has offered the owner of that Twitter account $5,000 to shut it down.
$5,000.
I know that it's pennies.
That's,
you know,
insulting.
What?
Insulting.
Please.
That's
I'll
why
take it.
And I haven't looked. I have no base, no truthful or foundation to base this off of. But I assume that ever since he announced that Twitter page has exploded, and it surely should be worth $10,000 by now, you know.
Yeah.
So I recommend everybody follow that one, whether you care about Elon Musk flight patterns or not. I don't. But
at this point, can Elon Musk off anything less than $1 million to buy something?
Thank you. Yeah.
You know what I mean? If he's trying to buy you off, It's $1 million minimum.
Absolutely.
You can't offer to buy me off for $5,000.
Yeah, Elon Musk.
That's like you said, or you said, five pennies for me.
Yeah, exactly.
That's a stupid price. Yeah. You know, I'm sure they're in negotiations or something. You
and what's he doing that he doesn't want? He's like, I can't fly to Thailand.
Right.
And
yeah. I'm sure some, like, every time his plane lands, there's like, you know, a group of yuppies out there protesting him or something. So,
yeah.
I'm sure.
Yeah. One of my other favorite Twitter accounts is Modern Seinfeld. I don't know if you guys have heard of that, but it's this guy who just writes, you know, two-sentence Seinfeld episodes if they were happening today. For example, when George falls for a Twitter bot, Kramer claims he once catfished himself. Jerry, how's that even possible? Oh, I'm good, Jerry. I'm real good.
I remember you telling me one about where, like, Jerry's girlfriend automatically hooks up to Newman's Wi-Fi. And just a whole episode trying to figure out how that possibly happened.
Yeah, it automatically. Yeah, that's hilarious. Elaine thinks the NSA is spying on him, so he goes off the grid, except he uses Jerry's phone, computer, and email. Now you're just on my grid. So there you go. Some good Twitter accounts. Twitter was the one back in the day that I thought, like, okay, this is the one I can get with.
Yeah.
But I don't know about now.
When it was like, it was really, what was like 128 characters was the most. Yeah. I think it's doubled now.
Mm-hmm.
It forced people to be real concise with the statements that they were going to make, which concise a lot of times can mean funny. You know, just a little more wisdom or brilliance or thought goes into it.
Right.
You know?
I was like, yeah, okay, so this is going to be the one that's dedicated to just people being trying to be funny or this and that. Facebook will be the rant. You know, the blog of social media, essentially. But it's almost like different now. I don't know. Twitter is the rant. Facebook is the meme sharing, you know, thing.
Twitter is not real life. The sooner that I think maybe we're starting to realize that, but the sooner we adopt that as a societal truth, the better, you know, because so much happens because of the a few people making this Twitter mob. You know, companies will cancel people or shut down this or stop doing that because like three people yelled on Twitter.
Yeah.
And a bunch of people who don't have enough, you know, sense to come up with their own opinions, just retweet it and share it.
Yeah, it's an easy hashtag, sure.
Yeah,
and it
absolutely
makes me keep up with my progressive buddies.
And it's mostly, to me, like, especially national journalists, I feel like they're the worst at fault when it comes to Twitter. They will base entire articles and specials in the New York Times or Washington Post off something that they saw or reported on or stated on Twitter. You know, it's just a bunch of idiot journalos just echoing back and forth to one another.
It's crazy. Like when that's why when I saw that, I definitely thought it was real. Trolled for sure, but those first couple, it was the bio that got me. Yeah. They know what they were doing. That whole, because it just gave a bunch of things I've never heard of. I don't know what ecosexual is, variable pronouns, and then the biggest one was the, I don't remember, it was the biggest one.
The poetry?
The poet thing. It was the one, non-white.
Yeah,
but she's a white girl. Like in the, I was like, "No, I'm white. What is that?"
Yeah, you can't identify me from the skin color I was born.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, but
I saw one on Twitter recently that was, and it probably has to be one of these fake ones. But it's unfortunate that you do have people on Twitter probably making these false flag operations to raise the ire of people in other communities. Mm-hmm. There was one that I saw got a lot of traction. Someone posted on Facebook from Twitter, and it was. Obviously a young black woman's Twitter page, really the picture of the Twitter account was a young black woman, and it said, "I finally realized why white people walk in the rain without an umbrella. It's to wash all the centuries of bloodshed off of themselves." And I'm looking at it like,
nobody's thinking that really.
I mean, it's because we're lazy, all right? Yeah, and the umbrella we left in the car, I ain't turning around and getting it.
Yeah, yeah.
Running, funny, we're white. We're not good at running.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. That's funny. If that is a fake bot or whatever,
it's pretty good.
That's pretty funny.
Yeah.
But we were talking last week about Bro Jogan and his podcast when officially Neil Young pulls the music off. So Spotify was like, yeah, here. Like, we don't care. We bought it so we could not have anybody else buy it. Now that he's off Spotify... SoundCloud, maybe? I don't know.
Just like YouTube with some ads.
Yeah.
And if there was SoundCloud becomes like a place where not only people that don't have a career, but people that career's ending or has ended
yeah,
too now.
Yeah, exactly. And Spotify wants the money back, so they were like, listen, the $100 million was all in like the legal and copyright fees. Yeah. We want the money back for your actual music, which is actually 37 pennies that we wanted for it. Because why and how and who is listening? If you have Spotify, you don't know who Neil Young is.
Yeah. Right.
Like, that's
exactly
what I'm thinking.
That's what I thought.
You know, I thought.
I didn't
sure
know who Neil Young was.
Right. He has. Really. We finally, Patrick and I were like, okay, what's the song? And it's Keep On Rocking in the Free World.
Which that's I thought was one. Bruce Springsteen.
Yeah. And then we listened to Heart of Gold and we were like, that's Tom Petty. And then he's blowing a harmonica. Bob Dylan. This guy's just a thief. Thief. Yeah. So, but now Foo Fighters, you know, which is definitely a step up from Neil Young as far as like the people that might be listening on Spotify, but still not enough pull, I don't think.
No, and that's almost like you're getting to the upper echelon of the millennial generation, maybe even into Gen X a little bit, who are like gotten just old enough that they're like conservative minded enough to not be so concerned with what Joe Rogan has to say on his podcast.
And
so
we
they're
were
like,
iPod.
Dave Grohl, you're leaving for what?
Yeah. Yeah, that's a weird sentence.
Yeah.
Dave Grohl leaves Spotify because of Joe Rogan.
Yeah.
I didn't think I'd ever hear that. And
just
this
reinforces
is,
the point that I don't care.
Yeah, yeah. And the Foo Fighter listeners are an iPod generation.
Yeah,
and
right.
And maybe possibly even a Discman generation.
Oh, yeah.
So probably not Spotify again. Because Spotify, if I know right, you need internet, right? That's why I don't mess with it.
Yeah, I think so.
Because there's lots. I just have tons of data. Like if I'm driving around, it's my YouTube and nothing streams, you know? And like say we're going to Broken Bow or
Southwestern Afghanistan. I mean, what can you expect? So.
Yeah, exactly. So I have my music bought and downloaded in an MP3 format because I'm an iPod generation kid. That's what I did. So the moment that DaBaby is like, nah. Like Joe Rogan, that's enough.
Yeah.
Now, you know, then maybe something can happen. But, you know, Joe Rogan, again, I did it last podcast. Like, he's this huge amount. But Spotify did lose $4 billion in market value, which really doesn't mean much.
What does that mean exactly?
Yeah.
It's like, just temporarily, right?
Yeah.
I mean, it was stock market. It's going to go back up tomorrow.
Yeah. It'll, if it slumps, like we were saying yesterday, then there's probably going to be a lot of people who like, it slumped. Buy.
Yeah, buy
you
some.
Know, buy
and
some.
It was, and that market value was lost from probably due to a lot of people selling stocks who don't know anything about Neil Young.
Yeah.
They don't know anything about Spotify, and they certainly don't know anything about Joe Rogan.
And it was already on the downhill slide, too.
Right,
so
right.
It's arguably would have went there anyway.
Right,
yep.
Right. So I don't know, man. But you know, I just don't know how cancelable Joe Rogan is by the Twitter mob until somebody else steps up and says, you know what, I will remove my music, Megan the Stallion,
Lil Nas X, or something.
Yeah.
That would be iHeartRadio. They have Lil Nas X in his pocket.
They got Spotify. Well,
who's got the weekend? All right. Yeah.
Spotify got to be down. Like, you know, because you were asking the question, like, okay, so if Joe Rogan or Neil Young, Neil Young has that much stake in Spotify, $100 million to buy his music, like, who else is on there that would also have an equal or more amount? And there's so many, like, anybody can, you'd need a face, I believe. A face and an address, I think, are the two things you need to be on Spotify.
Okay. So you don't even have to have music.
Yeah, but technically not.
Yeah.
No. You just bang on a xylophone and record it on your iPhone and then like pay Spotify and they'll be like, we'll host it.
Yeah.
We'll give you 5 pennies for every dollar we get.
Exactly.
You know, and great. It's a deal. Record deal. I got signed.
Yeah.
So there's so many artists on Spotify. I mean, a glut in the the bottom 98% has all got to be, you know,
garbage.
If not, maybe not even garbage, not even garbage music. Just like they don't have no stake,
Neil
Young.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, see, that's how much I didn't even know about Spotify. I guess is I thought it was just like Apple Music, where you know all the music is on there.
Yeah,
and then but if it's more like what's that other one that you just mentioned, the
SoundCloud
rappers, then I guess.
But SoundCloud, the thing is, I guess you just for free. I know there's a deal that you can make with Spotify that pretty much anybody can make. There's some sort of if you get plays Spotify, and the ads on there's ads on Spotify unless you pay for it, right?
True.
So then there's that. So it's almost like a YouTube type thing as well. You can upload if it's popular, than ads and we and revenue and you get this much.
Right.
You know, but this much is, hey, fine. That,
better than nothing.
Yeah, because, and that's the other thing I was going to say. I was saving this for the podcast. I wanted to say it on the show today, but I watched a couple YouTube videos recently and I'm just really, so many ugly people with with channels, and it's to the point like you know, you, it's not show business. It's show business you washed out. If you were ugly, not in the 70s and 80s, but like later, now you've washed out. And now it's like any ugly person.
Jonah Hill can't
a,
even be fat anymore.
Yeah, I know.
That's funny you said. Well, I recently watched an interview. They were talking about TikTok changing things, making it, well, you don't have studios where people set up and do anything anymore. It's all done in their room. Their dirty ass room. And, but they weren't saying it in that way. They were saying it like, it's a good thing. Like, it's more
raw.
Space.
Oh,
it's more. It's more real. People are being more open about their real lives or something. I was like, you know, do a little set prep for me.
Yeah,
yeah.
Get a little bit of your dirty underwear out of the back of the
clean
room.
Up the piss collection bottles.
The cup of noodle tower you're building back there.
That, just a little set prep.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm old enough school. When it comes
your
to
your old school radio, old school show business.
Yeah, so I need just a little bit of set prep.
Yeah, just a bit, man.
Yeah, just
make
clean
the bed.
It up. Exactly. Make the bed. Make the bed.
Yeah.
I really, that causes anxiety.
Yeah.
For
big
somebody's
time.
Bed to be unkept.
On
unmade,
camera.
On camera.
Yeah, it's so embarrassing. I don't know what happened. I got to apologize to the world.
That's crazy.
Yeah, but I watched this. Yeah, I didn't watch the YouTube. It was just recommended to me, and I was scrolling, and I literally stopped. I was like, that dude is ugly as hell. And I clicked on it, and it like it opens up, and he's like doing a dance like this, and then it's 1080p, like highest quality on just his face. You know, the talking head style. Yeah. I don't even know what he was talking about. Didn't even pretend, but I was like, he's ugly. He shouldn't be famous.
750,000 people watching him at that moment.
Right. At that very moment. So it's just, everybody can do it, man. It's open.
That's like that TikTok guy, Long Neck, that we were talking about the other day. He like banks off the fact that he looks different.
Yeah. So it doesn't even matter the content.
Right.
It's just Long Neck.
And he's kind of like, tries to be gangster, which is funny because he's what's the Miami, we saw the meme for it yesterday. The one where dude's hard in Miami or.
What was that meme?
Anyway.
Yeah.
It was a movie, actually.
Right. It's just like. Not you're not hard,
right?
Essentially.
Yeah, basically, and that's it's like this playing off of that, and I don't know. People were watching it, like you said, thousands of people in that moment were watching it.
Yeah,
I didn't see I'm like, oh man, he does kind of look weird. He's got odd features. His features are extenuated or elongated.
Elongated neck. Features.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But other than that, it didn't doing it. It wasn't doing it for me.
Yeah,
I was waiting for y'all to be like, hey, he didn't have a neck.
Yeah.
You know, it's ironic.
No, that's the opposite. That's 90-year fiance or whatever it is. That guy who lost his neck in a tragic neck-losing accident. I don't know what happened to him. He got a shot off in Vietnam or something.
He was going to get a neck transplant, but he did. He wouldn't take the COVID vaccine. Yeah. So they kicked him off the donor list.
Yeah, or maybe he was walking and an anvil fell from the sky and just boom. It's just like scrunched his vertebrae. Yeah. I don't know what happened to him.
And he's reduced to transporting prostitutes from Thailand to America.
Underage prostitutes, by the way. No. But yeah, and he, the thing is with this whole Spotify, SoundCloud, YouTube, free, man. If you think you can do it, put it on there and somebody might watch it. You showed us that TikTok, like you were saying, little set prep, little body prep, little something, little something to go. You showed us that video of that guy who was just moving, like he's like in a you can't stop moving contest or something.
Oh, the dude, he couldn't play a harmonica, but going to learn live on TikTok.
Yeah, he like unwraps a harmonica box and opens it and just starts blowing into it. Remember how sweaty he was? He was sweating from head to toe.
He was on Molly, too. I'm sure of it.
Yeah, it was like disco lights and his dirty room.
Oh, yeah.
Like in the dark, too. Yeah. Like, how is that? And 100,000 people watching him, giving him all the roses.
Yeah, which is money. Which is
roses is money.
Yeah, financial gain.
Right.
On TikTok.
Right.
My understanding.
TikTok takes the cut though.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah,
sure. Oh, yeah. They got you buy the rose for $1.99, and then the rose is actually 99 cents to your love or whatever. So yeah, you actually only donate 99 cents.
Yeah,
TikTok, you paid $1.99 for.
My word!
Isn't an asteroid supposed to hit us at some point? Hoping, like, please,
yeah. Oh, I saw a headline that was like, narrow miss, asteroid zooms by Earth like 5 million miles away or something. Yeah. How much is that?
They must have Armageddoned us then, because they didn't let us know.
Yeah.
And now that it's passed, they're like, whoo. All right, just for the record, we had Bruce Willis out there on the rock.
Yeah, yeah.
And he stopped it. He blew up just enough explosives to make it change trajectory.
Yeah. We had the Aerosmith queued up.
Yep.
With that one song.
When he didn't make it back in.
Yeah, yeah.
Let's say that 5 million miles is 20 times further than the moon is to us.
Yeah.
So, near miss?
It was like near miss. It flies like 5 million miles past Pluto or something like what? I guess that's a near miss for, you know, scientists are like, yeah. Oh, yeah, and by the way, that's another thing. What the hell is a scientist?
Yeah,
I don't even know what a scientist is. That's what this
broad
headline. Yeah, the headline for Joe Rogan is 200 scientists. Is that just like, you know, groups that have a guy who's like a PhD and he's like, yeah, I don't agree with Joe Rogan.
A kid who made a volcano and put some vinegar and baking soda inside of it? Are you a scientist?
Yeah.
Like, unless I've done that for my kids every year.
Yeah, the potato battery.
Great, too.
Yeah. A baker?
Yeah.
Like, exact amount of sugar?
Yeah.
Like, that's science,
It is, isn't it?
Like, I feel like you, to be like, I'm a scientist and I have a word in the scientific community, you got to be smashing atoms, bro. Yeah.
Right.
Just crushing them.
You got to smash them atoms. You ain't got no say, man. So 200 scientists.
They're whores.
Unnamed. And, you know, it's like 9 out of 10 dentists that won. Who was he?
Yeah.
You know?
What does he know?
Yeah. Man? Well, I like fluoride in the water. But, yeah, I don't know who these people are. Like, and why isn't there more? 200? Like, I don't know how many scientists there are, but 200 seems small.
Well, they were
I don't know why.
You know, we need to get a certain percentage of the scientist community here. Yeah. So 200. That seems like a lot of guys.
Sounds right. Right? Yeah. 200 college students.
Obviously wasn't enough for Spotify.
Yeah. I guess not. Yeah.
Actually, it was, wasn't it? I looked at Bro Jogan.
Oh, something happened?
He put out I got an update because I get his updates when he puts stuff out.
Oh, did he apologize?
I think there was a 7-minute one.
Oh.
Bust that dust off his little podium.
Right. So I'd have to look it up, but yeah.
And by the way, hopefully at the end of the apology, he'll be like, listen, I'm sorry for any misinformation. Listen to the CDC. Listen to the scientific professionals. But also Neil Young, you punk bitch. come on my podcast.
Yeah. Or Dr. Fauci. Come on, bro.
Yeah. Dr. Fauci don't want to go nowhere that's not somewhere where, you know. Like, imagine.
Friendliest ears.
Yeah, and yeah. Absolutely. It's just ridiculousness. And I don't know when Joe Rogan became political. I don't know when that shift happened. And it's...
I thought he just got high with Elon Musk.
Yeah. Like, I don't think that his base is mostly made up of QAnon-type people, but it's like, it feels like it is.
Yeah.
Like, it's because of the conspiracies. It's because of the alien talk and all that. That's just easy work for the QAnon to also believe in that.
There's a lot of bronies, you know, in his ranks, but...
Yeah.
Okay, it says, hello, friends, and it has been the most shared episode now. It's called Joe's Thoughts, and it came out. It's 9 minutes.
Joe's Thoughts.
And it came out Sunday.
Ah.
So.
Maybe we'll watch this for the next episode or something.
Listen to it and see if it's.
Or maybe we'll break on this one or something. Go watch it real quick. Learn about what we're talking about for a second.
Yeah.
Nah, that's next episode. I don't really need to listen
to
it.
No, I don't need it. I just figured he put out something that says hello, friends. That's only 9 minutes long of him talking.
Yeah.
I figure it's forced by Spotify. What it said is I don't know, but I figure it's something Spotify was like, you got to put out something that says
that
you don't know everything about everything or whatever.
That or he was just diagnosed with prostate cancer or something.
Yeah, that's possible too.
200 scientists poked me in the ass and found that I had
that
prostate
cancer. Finds that ivermectin causes prostate cancer.
That's right. Well, it's all interesting. Joe Brogan. I don't think he'll be gone anytime soon.
No. And talking yesterday, we talked a little bit about this ourselves, and we are seeing, I guess, some of the limitations of cancel culture arising. I feel like for years now, most corporations or anyone that was in the crosshairs of the cancel culture was they would fold.
Yeah,
you know?
Apologize. We're sorry. Yeah.
Not good enough.
Right, because of, again, the Twitter mob, a handful of people yelling real loudly on Twitter.
Yeah.
And you know, I was really fearful with the whole Dave Chappelle thing. I thought if we saw him get kicked off Netflix and crushed under that whole steamroller, that's just the end. Yeah. I mean, for
it's yuck yucks in Montreal forever.
Yeah, right. Yeah. And but no, Netflix, the CEO stood behind him, and man, Netflix is still posting quarterly profits. You know,
and he's sold out shows since.
Yeah,
you can't get a damn ticket to a Dave Chappelle show.
You could go back and listen when we talk about that.
Yeah.
And I was fearful about it. Like, I thought this was maybe another nail in the doom of America.
Mm-hmm.
But
he was able to resist Netflix. Not Dave Chappelle. I knew Dave Chappelle would be okay.
Yeah.
It was Netflix that...
Are they going to kick him?
Wow. So, you know, they had a few people out front picketing.
Yeah.
That's pretty much the most. And then again, we talked about that lady.
Hey, lady.
That quote-unquote. Quote-unquote, the woman, the transgender woman.
Okay.
Because you have to say that, right?
Yeah.
She was the one who was spearheading the defense, and then somebody uncovered one of her uber, like, I'm not a canceler, so I'm not going to be like, racist tweet. But, you know, it was like
anti-Asian
right? tweet that was like, open your eyes when you're serving me or something. It was something crazy, you know? Then she was like, and then she issued this long, like, I was insensitive then. That was when I was a man.
Of course, that was the excuse.
Yeah. Or like, I was a man. More like, I guess I was not myself yet. Type of deal.
Okay. Easy.
And guess how easy that was for everybody else to all the other like transgender protesters to swallow. No problem. Asian hate, man, we don't care about that.
Yeah.
We care about what's up in your pants.
Or not.
Yeah. Doesn't matter. Ken doll.
Yeah.
That's funny.
Yeah. And then Spotify, you know, they stand strong and kick Neil Young. I mean, good for them, because at the end of the day, Spotify is not a censorship organization.
No.
It is not incumbent upon them to go and listen to everything on there. But at the same time, I think they still do. I read something where they kick like 20,000 podcasts, or maybe it was podcast episodes, in 2021 due to just misinformation or hateful, insightful commentary on them, you know. So they'll go and they'll find the most egregious examples, ones again that are going to incite perhaps incite hate or violence. They'll kick that. But as far as things like COVID-19 and the response is still very much in the court of public opinion and debate right now.
Good point.
The book has not been written on this yet.
Yeah.
So were you going to go on there, cancel Joe Rogan, and then a couple years from now? That turns out monoclonal antibodies. Oh, actually, they're just fine. They're the life-saving things. And as we were talking yesterday, he's getting hammered for these monoclonal antibodies, which up until a couple months ago, everybody was like, "Oh, if you got severe COVID-19, don't go to the hospital. Go to your pharmacy, get some of these antibody treatments, and it's gonna fix you up."
Yeah.
You know.
And then they were like, "No, don't do that, because that's not what they're for." I guess, or something. Like, I imagine maybe they're for something. They happen to help with that. Maybe people who actually really need them can't get them or something, because I know supply was running low.
Well, and this is like this whiplash people are feeling from our response to COVID-19, because we're trying to deal with this. Our society has never responded to a situation as real time as this, you know.
True.
Like when Pearl Harbor happened, it was like a year before we like fought a real battle against the Japanese. You know, after 9/11, it took a couple of months for us to establish, some strength in Afghanistan to do some, you know, to combat Al Qaeda and the Taliban. You know, now we're trying to deal with this thing every day. And I mean, the whiplash is back and forth in the established community is not recognizing that. Every day they're like, do this or don't do that or whatever. It's just like this word of God when, man, we need some humility in this whole process. One of the big ones, as they said, when it first happened, and I bring this up because a lot of people who, and I'm not one of them, I don't question how serious COVID-19 is. I got the vaccine. I know we all have. We're not going to talk bad about that. But listening to the scientific community back at the beginning of the COVID-19 outbreak, they said everybody needs masks. You got to wear masks.
Yeah.
And then, and this has all come out, like the CDC and the National Institute of Health said, you don't need masks. And then it came out, the only reason they said you don't need masks is because they were afraid that the American public was going to buy all the masks up, and then they wouldn't be available at hospitals.
Ah.
And then they came out, once the supply of masks was a lot more stable, they said, wear the mask.
Two masks.
Yes,
remember that at one point,
yeah.
I think?
Yeah. Support your local businesses.
Yeah,
buy two masks at a time.
Two masks for a
But they came out, you know, I don't know if it was Fauci himself, but it was some spokesperson with CDC or NIH or whatever that came out and said, yeah, we only said don't get the mask because we didn't want people to buy them all up. It's like, well, that's disingenuous, all right? Like, you're already throwing it out there that you lied to the American people. How do you expect them to trust you afterwards?
Right, right.
Yeah, instead of being extreme, just put it out there, hey, at this point, we need the nurses and doctors to be able to get those masks.
Yeah.
So ease up on buying the masks.
Transparency is good. But the thing is I think all three of us here can think progressively enough to... First, let me say, I totally understand if somebody doubts what the CDC is saying because of how badly it's been handled.
Yep.
But kind of in the name of progression itself, we're able to be like, oh, well, okay. Like, we're all kind of like, oh, you know, okay, we'll do this. All right, do this.
Yeah.
You know, we're doing what they're telling us to do because, that's the scientific community, you know, CDC and all that. So,
whereas if you were trying to be against them in the first place, the first time they've waffled, you're like, oh, I'm never
listening
to a scientist.
Totally
again.
Right. Going to Joe Rogan forever now.
Yes.
And we're I think smart enough. Not smart. I don't know, but like, there's no conspiracy.
Trust our government.
I trust.
We have a sense. We have enough sense about us.
Yeah. Like, all the biggest government conspiracies can be chalked up to just
aliens.
Just mishandling stuff and ineptitude.
Yeah.
True.
So why should this be any different? It's not a conspiracy.
Well, it's just
people are dumb sometimes.
Yeah.
You gotta think about how much conspiracy it would take to actually keep these conspiracies going.
Yeah.
Oh man.
The monumental.
You're giving the government a lot more credit than it deserves, people.
Yes, 100%. Could you imagine what it would take to keep that many people silent about rigging up the Twin Towers with thermite paint?
Exactly.
You know, like the guy who puts the thermite in the paint.
Yeah.
Then the guy who mixes it. Then the guy who brings it. Why is it spraying
normally?
Yeah.
Because there's thermite in it.
Yeah.
My bad.
And only one guy can paint 1 foot at a time. It's got to be.
Yeah.
And then the drilling of the holes to put the explosives in and all that.
It's
like
be diamonds, so there's no spark.
That's right. And then we got to already. We got to lessen the steel beams. We got to lessen the integrity. What's the guy doing that? He's like, is this why are we, you know, like
and
nobody
George
knows?
George W. Bush?
Yeah.
Okay.
he wasn't on nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
He wasn't with any of the conspiracy.
That's right.
Sure.
He was playing with toy cars.
You bring such a good point. You give too much credit with these conspiracies. And there's the Hanlon's Razor, which is it's the saying that says, never attribute to malice that which is much more adequately explained by incompetence.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All right, that is human nature.
Seriously.
Yeah,
and
that is all
stupid.
That is all the biggest government conspiracies, isn't it? You know, and especially this new one out that I don't even know. There's like a billion conspiracies about it's pedophiles. It's COVID-19 is to protect
lizard men,
and
Russians going to take over. China's
going to
take over.
That's right.
Either
all of it.
Them.
Yeah.
It just depends on. It's funny. It's all fear. It's all who's talking, because you're. You know, cousin may grow up different than your cousin on the complete opposite spectrum. So your cousin's conspiracies are going to be complete opposite than your cousin. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's like
everybody's
got different conspiracies coming at them from different angles. And if you're like me, you just don't care to hear it.
The government can barely lay down a solid interstate,
you
know, let alone orchestrate this global conspiracy.
Yes.
One of my favorite, though, it was when it's COVID-19 first emerged, someone told me, well, this is China's way. They want to take over our country. And it's like, have you watched the news of our country here lately? I mean, they do not want anything to do with us.
Kind of just want to step over us.
Yeah.
You know?
And they just want our money.
It's China Joe. That's what it is, right? Chinese Joe or something. What is
Chinese Joe the plumber?
Yeah, made in China Joe. I don't remember what it was, but there's a new nickname out for him. He's just a China shill. A China puppet.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, the puppets using COVID-19 as a
this man. All yeah. right, do you see what I'm doing? Yeah.
You're the one dancing.
Yeah,
we're talking about the same Biden.
Yeah.
You think the Biden as the global puppet master of conspiracy? Yeah. And I kind of look at the guy who could barely form a coherent sentence.
Can't navigate
there.
A stare.
Think it's funny you can't get anybody to work together across the aisle in anything. But Trump leaves as the national conspiracist on COVID-19. Yeah. Joe enters the national conspiracist on COVID-19. Yeah. It's like they've got together for the one thing. It was to trick us all on COVID-19.
Absolutely.
It's so you just this man, you're either a string or a puppet or a master.
Puppet master.
Yeah. Master. and they put
you're
those
just like you can't dance if you're the puppet master.
Yeah. They put those grainy YouTube like just screenshot videos of a compilation of their conspiracy with Master of Puppets. It's playing in the background. 34
it's a good song.
34 so, views.
Yeah.
See, man.
32,000 followers. Yeah. 34 views.
34 views.
You know.
Well, I watched this one that was like aliens. It was like the most realistic UFO videos, and of course they were using like the cha 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 cha, yeah cha cha cha. You know, like
so you got Kamina Burana or you got the Kamina Burana by Orf playing on the background, and all of a sudden, hey, I don't know, you got that music playing. It must mean something, huh?
China Joe tripping upstairs, na na na, bum bum bump. So
is the Lord of the Rings song?
Yeah. That's Mordor. Right?
I mean, Biden pretty much is Sauron. Huh?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. Oh my Lord.
But some of it's just crazy, and I think people are just genuinely having fun with it, because we were talking to one guy that we know, great guy, who was like, well, you know about that stone in Georgia, right?
Yeah.
And I was like, nah, dude, I guess I don't. He's like, well, there was a stone that someone made in 1800s, and it says on there that COVID-19 will develop, and if you take the vaccine, you'll die 6 months from there. It's like population control. And he's like, it was written in a bunch of different languages and stuff on this stone. 1800s.
Crazy.
You know, I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
That's when they started working on COVID-19, actually.
Yeah.
It was supposed to come out in COVID-1900s.
Yeah. It's just a little late.
It was a little late. Yeah, it was the government.
Late. Yeah.
So, I'm just like, are you messing with me, dude? Like, seriously? And this was like a year and 6 months ago to the day, you know? Like,
18 months after your first shot, COVID shot?
No. 6 months back in the 1800s, a little different than 6 months.
Yeah.
That's what happened.
You ever watch Interstellar?
Yeah, right. Yeah. It's all relative, man. Einstein said, bro.
Six years, 6 months. Same thing.
Yeah.
Yes. I was like, you tell me this, you know, and I did gain the sense a little bit. The guy believed it. Maybe he was just doing a great job trolling me about it.
But this whole incompetence, not malice, incompetence, that's even more fodder for Jesse Ventura, man. It'll be like, that's what they want you to think.
Exactly.
That they're incompetent. But they're actually, you know.
Brilliant.
Brilliant.
Man, yeah.
You think they really don't want to lay a road down for less than $150 million a mile? You know? Gulf of Tonkin? Bay of Pigs? So we got to that because I don't know who Joe's base is. I really don't. Joe Brogan, not Joe Biden, not China Joe.
I hate to put it, guys, but Joe's base looks like us.
Yeah,
straight up, and they're screaming America right now.
Right,
that's Joe's base.
That's Joe's base. You're right.
It is a bunch of, to be honest, a bunch of white dudes in their 30s and 40s with some severe inferiority complexes. Yeah. Because I'm going to be honest, if white men have ruled the world since the 1500s, you know, and gotten used to it. Yeah. And and rightfully so, their position is being taken down a few pegs. And especially in America, white men are struggling to deal with that loss of status, that loss of position, this bringing up and putting more of a limelight on the equality of everyone, you know.
Still sore about Obama being black.
Exactly. When at the end of the day, most dudes are just 13-year-old. They're 13-year-old boys in their heart.
That's the thing. And if you're 40 or past it, your 13-year-old boy heart, racism was still kind of cool in '90s. Like you were kind of able to still do it. Yeah, a little bit, I think. Or make it a racist joke. You got away with it a lot.
Amongst your own kind.
Yeah, you just looked over your shoulder and, all right, you know, you got into it.
Or if there was one person that didn't look like you in the group, he or she couldn't say anything because the rest of you like
yeah.
that.
You know? Outnumbered.
Yeah.
The thing is we talked maybe a little bit about this on one of the podcasts, is that most men nowadays don't have an avenue to actually be men. I mean, the right. best they'll ever have is having a child, mm-hmm. you know? Fortunately, I say the three of us, we do live in an area. We can go camping. We can go hike. You and I did that just a couple yeah. weekends ago, Jay. You know, we bust our ass up in the hills and camped in the middle of the rain.
Miserable situations.
Yeah. Got to feel like a real man.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. You and I have done that, Tyler. We have a lot of options as men, living in rural Southwest Arkansas yeah. to be men.
Yeah.
And grill a steak anytime we want or whatever. But if you live in an urban environment, as a man, you know what, man? Joe Rogan is the closest thing you know to a man.
Yeah.
Like, you're really just a boy.
A bow hunter. He hunts elk
yeah.
with
right.
his bow.
All you get is your bespoke box that has, like, a bourbon glass and a yeah. knife in it.
Like, you have to order the box of being a man, right?
Yeah.
This is what I do. I get 12 of these.
New
my punch card. Yeah, yeah.
I think most guys truly can appreciate that being grown does not make you a man. Okay.
Yeah.
And so I don't want to use the term that I feel like I heard it from you, but like your average straight man has never been gayer in all of history than he is
right
now.
Oh, no, right that was
now.
That was Louis. That was a new
okay,
Louis
gotcha.
Joke.
That's a good point, though.
Yeah. Yeah, because now the gay men are like,
oh yeah, you don't mess
with them.
Yeah.
They're clean.
They had
they're
to fight
healthy.
For it. Yeah.
They had to fight for it. They're used to fighting for it, and now yeah. you got this, you know, straight little white guys that go in ordering the yeah. man box, hoping that you know yeah. the yet another knife on the shelf is going to make them, you know,
well,
manly.
So will they take
tumbler.
My Starbucks card?
That's beautiful. The little bourbon tumbler.
Yeah, yeah.
With the little, you know, the little fire up thing and some, you know, yeah. some cedar chips so you can smoke your own bourbon.
Yeah, 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 exactly. And then a shelf of bourbon all cracked with one bit poured out of each one because I'm a bourbon taster.
Yeah.
I hate the stuff.
Yeah.
But I'm supposed to like it.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, and maybe then it's a good point to say white males, especially mm-hmm. in their 30s and 40s, they are a victim of success. Think yeah. about it. You said, because you mentioned white males have ruled the earth mm-hmm. for so long now. This is a saying that my dad and I were talking about this past weekend, and I think I've even said it here at one point, but this goes back to that. Hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times.
Mm.
Go
the
back.
Cycle.
The cycle continues.
Right. Yeah.
So we're going to own slaves again someday.
Maybe we've learned from our mistakes.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe.
No. Yeah, you're 100%
we
right.
Need to get our heads out of our asses.
Yeah. Exactly. You're sore when you had a lot of money and you don't anymore.
Yep.
You know what I mean?
It's like just until the Patriots, no NFL team ever won the Super Bowl back to back.
Right.
You know?
Right. I'm young enough to where I can always remember racism being bad. So I don't remember or associate with a position of power other than I do understand that I have an easy go of it because of my skin color.
Right.
Easier go yeah. of it. You know, it's like I pretty much know I'll be fine.
Nobody's getting pulled over for being white.
No.
All right.
No.
And
so I know. So that right there, I will not die from hypertension. I
yeah.
know that.
Yeah.
So that's, you know, but that's the closest thing I can identify with whiteness being a thing that is a thing.
Although if you use red duct tape to go over your brake light,
yes.
your tail light, you,
yes.
and you're white, then mm-hmm. you probably do meth, too. So
yeah.
I
could you imagine that?
Yeah.
The white, and like how many strips and how much.
Yeah. You have to do that for a while.
Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, no. Every pull of the tape is like
you were a good exception to the rule, but
but the thing is I'll be
yeah,
fine.
Right. You don't
Again,
get pulled over for
I've
that.
I've said it on the podcast. If you're white and you're homeless, man, what the hell's wrong with you? Unless
for mental health,
yes. Paul. Unless you just walk around with a Sharpie pen in your ass at all times, clucking like a chicken,
you
should not be homeless.
Yeah,
and if you're white, by the way.
That's well, just and just seriously though, like the white man culture has like, I don't know, the decay is the right word. I'm talking mostly in urban environments. Mm-hmm. All right, our rural listeners probably going to be like, "What the hell are you talking about?"
Right.
Working their cattle.
Still get up, get where my cattle. Exactly.
Let's talk about,
you know,
Hollywood. That whole thing with the Academy Awards or whatever, where they were like, boom, they ins- they put in all these things like you can't win awards unless you meet all this criteria, this progressive criteria about like you need to have, you know, this many white people to
really
the
percentage of those that are nominated and stuff.
You need either like a disabled person, a black person, or a you know, they're Latinx, which is ridiculous.
Oh, yeah, try to or pronounce that in Spanish, okay? Sound like a moron. But, oh, yeah, got to have a disabled person in the Academy Awards. Ridley Scott, okay, here you go. Oh, sorry, that was low, wasn't it?
Tax deduction director.
Yeah. That's,
put cheese on your head. I don't know. But, yeah, that's a ridiculous thing. Merit gone.
Yeah,
right. You know? Merit gone. And like, we didn't need that. Before the Academy Awards, we were doing just fine. 12 Years a Slave or whatever was winner. That one, and I don't believe it was because of, that was just a good movie. Mm. Visceral, good movie that you watch and you feel, you don't give a movie like that an award just because you feel bad or because it's about, you know, a horrific story from America's past. It was a good movie. It deserved it.
Yeah.
You didn't need then, you know what, after that, we're going to institute, maybe it was because then that one with like, what was it? It was like a dancing movie. Yeah, it was just a white woman, white guy that like won a bunch of awards and people
Dirty were Dancing?
Real sore about it. No, it was a recent one.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Well, they had a new one, new Dirty Dancing, that's why I was
thinking. Not that one. Like Full Moon or Moonlight or something like that. I don't remember what it was called, but it was like pretty much all white cast.
I got you.
They won a bunch of awards, and people were like, "Well, that's not cool."
Times are changing. Wasn't it like the MTV Awards, like for the first time ever, more men wore dresses than women on the red carpet?
Oh, yeah, we need that.
I mean, seriously, like Harry Styles was sporting a dress. Oh. I mean, there was a bunch of them that were sporting dresses, and I don't know. They were talking about the ratio of men to women wearing dresses. Yeah. Women don't wear dresses anymore.
Yeah.
Men are, apparently.
Oh, look at the dress. Look at the way his ball bag is clinking between his ankles like a pendulum. Well, we love that. That's
kilt,
a great look.
Technically. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. No, it was full length.
Wow, that's woke right there. I mean, wow, think how much that's advanced society right there. A couple of dudes dressing in dresses.
Yeah. Sir, yeah. I'm stepping on your testicles. I'm sorry.
Yeah, just getting out of the, gender norms for fashion, maybe?
Yeah.
I guess that's probably what they were going for.
I was going to donate money to starving kids in Darfur, but I think I'll just wear a dress to express my solidarity with the other sex.
I have a strapless dress there, so when my arms are folded down, you could see my armpit hair.
Yeah, or the little bulge of fat that hangs over because I can't work out enough.
Men are disgusting. We don't want...
No, I think because I'm a believer in biblical times, I think I'm going to go back to the robes. That'd be cool.
Like, the togas.
I'm going to tote like my purse, my my change purse. Pouch. It's going to be tied to a string.
I refuse. I mean, you got the body for it.
You think I could do it?
You could pull it off, but nobody wants to see.
Roman toga?
No one wants toes, knees, armpits.
True. Not anymore.
Not in the
workplace, especially.
Hell no.
Yeah. I don't want to see flip-flops in the workplace.
Yeah. See, this is the second news director, not in a row, but second news director I've worked with that did not like flip-flops in the workplace.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that's wrong.
Yeah, right.
I just stopped wearing flip-flops because of the other guy.
Well, you had one that only, his only pair of shoes were his Crocs, I think. The same pair he had 13 years.
He's still wearing
them. And they smelled like it. Yeah. But
what about, what happened to, I don't know, feminism got just skipped.
It's fine.
It's fine.
Yeah, it's all better now.
It's alive and well.
Yeah, we just need men in dresses now. That's what it said. That's why the whole movement. And again, I'm all for you doing whatever the hell you want. I don't care. But it really is like such a man thing to be like, I'm taking that too.
Yeah,
absolutely.
It's us in a dress.
Yeah.
You know,
me.
Yeah, like real hardcore feminists got to have a hard time sometimes. Maybe thinking about the whole transgender thing. Like we were still fighting for our thing. Now you know, and I don't even know, man. And it's like,
no, you're right.
The politicians, when they get involved in it, that's when it's a sad day for America. Mm. When you have like Elizabeth Warren, we've talked about this before, Elizabeth Warren, who wants the, you know, who stated publicly that taxpayer-funded transgender reassignment surgery for prison inmates.
It's something to do.
Yeah. Commit a crime, get a dick.
I mean, there were three people who were like, you know what, I'm going to vote for her now because of that.
Exactly.
And 30,000.
Yeah. How many people were like, if she didn't say that, be like, I'm voting for Trump. Like, right. Why are you going to go to Trump? Because she doesn't
pay for your gender assignment at prison?
The buzzwords. Taxpayer-funded gender reassignment surgery, prison inmates.
Just hit them all. Monster Energy Drink was like, if you'll hit all of these buzzwords and throw Monster Energy Drink right at the end, we'll pay you $5 million.
That's right.
The Michael Jackson special.
If it was Elon Musk, it'd be $5,000.
Exactly.
$5,000.
You got to say Tesla twice.
Yeah.
But I just to get real back to Joe Rogan real quick, can't help but feel like part of the reason he is so popular among, you say, the people who look like us, but aren't, neither the three of us are some super fan. I saw him smoke weed, the Elon Musk. That's all I saw. But he's able, most of the guys who listen to him are able to be a man vicariously through Joe Rogan because they themselves do not have the opportunities within their lives to ever express what is traditionally manhood.
Doing Seattle can't go bow hunting for elk.
No. Right. No.
Well, he can. Well, he totally can.
The suburbs anywhere. You get home from your 8 or 10 hour a day job in an office in the city in a cubicle or whatever, and you go home and it's the same shit every day. Mm-hmm. And you're living in a house that's just the same as all the ones else around you. You know, the most outdoor time you're getting is mowing your lawn, maybe. You know,
taking
you don't hire an immigrant to do it.
Taking that dog to the little strip of green out front of your apartment complex.
I mean, you've disassociated.
I've seen that.
Disassociated yourself with nature entirely and all that. I mean, you're going to like Joe Rogan because he's the man that you can't be.
And don't get me wrong. I have definitely seen the draw or what it is that draws a person to a big city lifestyle.
Sure.
I think I told y'all once, one of my dreams was when I retire to spend about a year in a downtown high-rise apartment that's like on one of the busiest streets in a big city.
Right.
And then the next year, living in the middle of 600 acres of pure woodland. You know what I mean? There's nobody around me for
miles. Rattan property.
Exactly.
And then nice high rise on the busy streets in Oklahoma City or something.
Staying in a high rise hotel room on a busy street during protests in Chicago, Illinois, the wife and I realized we don't need that part of it. We can go visit when we like it.
But we'll go visit the chaos.
Yes. There's a lot of lifestyle that comes with living in the city that you may not like that comes with it. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. And like the same thing could happen in both places and elicit different reactions.
Absolutely.
Downtown Chicago, gunshots. Yep. But around here, gunshots left. Somebody's having some fun.
Yeah, exactly.
Somebody got them a squirrel.
That's right.
I would almost put money that if you, that is, it's almost a certainty. If you own a piece of camo clothing, you own a pair of boots of any type, or a pickup truck with four-wheel drive, you probably don't listen to Joe Rogan.
That's 100% right. Maybe. And the big thing is he's held high, right? This manly man. And now he's for freedom because he moved to Texas.
Yeah.
To Austin, Texas.
Yeah, where Californians are like, that's a little too
that's
left.
That's too
left,
progressive.
That's funny.
Yeah.
Man, Joe Rogan needs to move to, we should reach out to Joe Rogan. You should come live out here for like a week.
Yeah.
Then you'll see. He'll love it.
Yeah, he probably would.
Basements here, though.
But you got to think, Rogan, although he is appealing to who we just described.
Yeah.
His vision probably of the people that pay attention to him is those four-wheel driving, boots wearing, cowboy hat, snuff spitting kind of fellas.
And it's
I can't feel it. Those guys though look at him as just some Yankee interloper that doesn't know that's just catfishing himself.
Yeah. He's trying to be is like, you're not that.
No.
It's funny that you found bow hunting when you were 37.
Yeah.
I've been doing it since I was four.
Yeah.
You know?
Joe Rogan come here to where no Starbucks. You know,
yes,
he don't strike me as a black coffee drinking kind of guy. No. And at the end of the day, he's probably pretty, you know.
Oh, and his conference—that's a big thing. The elk bow hunting. He started. It blew up. Like everybody was buying bows, like in Seattle and L.A. and stuff. And it's like, you know, again, I've been doing it since. You see me doing a freaking podcast about it? No, it's just daily life. I hunt. I eat it. You know, and this and that. The people that are listening say in Seattle.
Yeah.
Think that Joe Rogan is in, so it's so yeah, that's so funny. The people here can be like, that guy ain't nothing anything like us, and then the people who are listening, you know, say in LA or something, thinking he's like, oh, you just hee-haw,
he's the quintessential Texan.
You're in Texas, wow, man, guns, fights, and duels every day, and
you wear bullets on your belt,
he's a bandolier.
You know Jesse James.
So nobody, Rogan's in limbo right now. I'm not sure who's liking him.
Spotify, because they spent $200 million.
They did. Yeah, they did. Yeah. And all the listeners. Yes. Somebody's liking him.
I said it's.
Well, you said. Well, and I want to point out, I still get Joe Rogan to my phone.
Yeah.
So the update that he comes in, I'm still subscribed. We'll put it that way. But I haven't listened to one. Y'all see me scrolling to get to the latest.
Yeah.
I hadn't listened to one over a year.
Yeah.
So, well, no, since he became Spotify, I listened to the very first one off Spotify, the fourth minute of commercials before he started talking about the commercials. I was like, no, this ain't going to work for
me. And you look at those original ones, he's like, the fleshlight, man.
Yeah.
The fleshlight is.
The psoas. What is that psoas muscle worker outer that he
worked? Oh, yeah.
It's like the psoriasis.
Yeah.
He's like, he had a couple of MMA guys on. He's like, get the so right, bro. I got like 50 of them in the back that gave me all of them. I'll give you one.
Get a so right.
Get him a so right.
He's an iron gym.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. So.
Yeah. Yeah. This is that the epitome of manliness in America is a guy who probably doesn't live up
five
to
two.
It.
Is he really?
He is so short, dude. I watched that. Like, I know, I've always known he's short, but when he interviewed Ngannou in the. And Ngannou's 6'4", 6'5". Right. I mean, big tall dude, but like not, you know, not
what's
Tyson Fury or something.
What's Ngannou weighing at? Because he's
260.
Solid muscle. Whoa.
He probably walks around at 265, 270, yeah. And is like that dude is like an engineered.
Yeah, exactly.
They
created him in
he'll be the first like Spartan, Halo Spartan guy. Like he would be that, you know. And but Joe's standing next to he looks like Joe doesn't have a neck either. He lost it in the neck accident. Yeah, the neck war. and he looks
the
nectar
neck wars.
Yeah. Now I'm just saying, Joe Rogan would destroy and beat me up at the same time.
But that doesn't make him a man.
Yeah, yeah. And that doesn't make him not a midget.
Yeah.
Or dwarf or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
A little man.
Small a kobold is what he like he's got kind of a golem-y texture. That's about it. You guys want to wrap it up, or I got a question?
All right, what's the last question?
Quick question. It's been a question for a minute. I stopped texting my friends for 2 weeks to see if anybody would text me first. No one did. I always have to be the one to text first, and friends reply, but never initiate. So I got sick and tired of it. They've been doing things among themselves, several hangouts, which I found out through Instagram, but no outreach to me or even mention of me in group chats. Naturally friendly person I am, so I don't think people not liking me is the issue. Well,
no, they don't like you.
They don't like it.
That's the issue.
Yeah.
And you're blind and dumb. So
clearly. But no one really connects with me. I try and fit in by cracking the same types of jokes. They say you're saying you're cracking jokes and you're trying to crack the same type of...
I'm glad that they figured out friendship is just a simple mathematical formula.
Yeah. This guy's writing it. It reminds me of that Steve Buscemi meme where it's like, hey, guys, you know, he's trying to be
as the high schooler. Kid.
Hello, fellow teenagers.
Well, if you got to say I cracked the same type of jokes, you obviously don't have the same type of humor.
Clearly not.
As them.
Yeah. What should I do? Should I wait till I graduate college and just dump and never talk to my friends again? Well, so we're cracking on it pretty hard, but there's almost always a linchpin in groups. You might be it. He might be sitting there thinking, nobody likes me, but you might be the one that, like, you have to do it. You have to pull it together. You've experienced this where you had a group of friends, I'm pointing to Patrick, and you left, and those friends, like, never hung out anymore ever again, you know?
I would absolutely call Patrick the linchpin of probably many friend groups in this area.
Yeah.
Because he's more, I don't know, he's more inviting mm-hmm. than anybody I've met in this area.
Yeah. Aww. Yeah, so. That's true. You go to, like, the gender reveal party, you know, of course it was for Caitlin.
It wasn't for Patrick.
It wasn't for Patrick, but Patrick brought, like, there was three kind of different...
Because he knows he's a man.
Yeah. There was family, then, like, Texarkana friends, then nearby friends, and then work kind of through work, and... You know,
it was like a meeting of different worlds.
Right, and take Patrick out of the equation.
None of them there for, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, a lot of it falls off. And I mean, let's say Patrick and Caitlin, because you guys do come as a package for the most part.
Yeah.
And
you made a point yesterday that some mm-hmm. people are just, they're just not the type of person to reach out and initiate mm-hmm. a hangout. You know, you were talking about somebody that we know closely. You know, that he's just not that type of person. But you holler at him to hang out 99 times out of 100, gonna be like, yeah, let's hang out.
Yeah.
You know, just waiting for that. Some people just aren't initiators. Some people aren't leaders.
I'm totally not an initiator.
I'm not a leader when it comes to friendships. Absolutely not.
Right. I need to be contacted.
Here's the problem. It may be you guys. Let's say it's you guys, and we are, for whatever reason, 2 weeks. Everybody got COVID. We mm-hmm. all have to stay away for 2 solid weeks. I wouldn't not text you because I didn't care for you or like you guys.
Yeah, yeah.
I would not text you because I didn't think I was doing other stuff. Yeah.
But then there's other. I mean? I've met other people who are saying, but that's the problem that you're not thinking
then
about.
I'm the problem.
I guess so.
You know what
I'm
mean?
With you.
Yeah.
I'm okay.
Patrick's been very good, especially on like. The last day of my vacation, for example, he texts me. He's like, "Bro, it hadn't been the same without you. We've barely got along, you know, jokingly, obviously." But he's like, "Can't wait till you get back, you know."
Right, right.
And that's friend stuff that I would never think about.
Yeah, me too. I just texted Jake, "You coming to work tomorrow?"
Yeah, but
bring coffee.
Yeah, but it makes you know that kind of friend. If he then a week later is like, "Man, I ain't got nobody to hang out with. You want to hang out?"
Yeah.
I'd be like, absolutely. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
I would even make room for that kind of friend because they made room in their 10 seconds to text me, welcome back.
I enjoy this.
Well, the thing that bothers me, and again, Patrick's a fantastic example of what we're talking about here.
Good friend,
Yeah, but the thing is Patrick isn't going to be the one to be like, you know what? Out of spite,
that's true.
I'm going to not text him. Like,
very true.
The thing that bothers me about this question is that you think you're important for some reason, or special, or like anybody. You think you're a thing. You're not.
Yeah, right.
All
right.
Yeah. So if you're the one that has to reach out, then that's what it is. Do a test then. That was a stupid test.
Yeah.
The one you did,
you found your place in that friendship.
Exactly. You found your pecking order.
Yep. Yeah.
So here's a new test. Wait a little bit. And then text one of your friends you want to hang out. And if he's at the immediate is like, yeah, dude, come over. Or I'll come over. Then
you're winning.
Exactly. You got friends, which is more than you can say for most millennials.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Because you're in college. Shoot that text out and nobody responds.
Yeah.
Then they were glad you didn't text the past week.
Yeah. Oh, he's back.
Yeah.
if nobody texts you, if you are gone for 2 weeks mm-hmm. and or a week and mm-hmm. nobody texts you first, like mm-hmm. then you're on the bottom of the pecking order.
Yeah.
You're at the bottom.
Yeah.
You got a text to get responses.
Yeah, and
period.
It's not like, and if you see on Instagram their escapades that they're having, it's not like they're like, oh, we're not with him. Well, maybe it is. Maybe you suck. I don't know. But
maybe
you just don't get the point.
Yeah, you don't get the point. But also, it could have been like, yeah, that day, dude texted dude. And they go like, oh, I'm already with the dude, you know?
Yeah.
So there's three of them going out. You didn't text.
That'd be like, okay, and barring y'all being brothers, mm-hmm. but that'd be like y'all two knew each other prior to coming work here,
uh-huh.
came to work with me, and then Patrick texting you, be like, hey, you want to hang out? And I'd be like, well, you didn't text me?
Mm.
Right.
You know, it's like
you
don't have to always text me when you want to hang out with one of your other
friends. I was just
thinking,
these two guys that were whoever, these two individuals, maybe they were like graduating high school together.
Right.
You know, before they went to this college and
then
befriended you, mm-hmm. you know. So, there's whatever.
Yeah, I'm
you're
missing
the third wheel.
Yeah, missing a lot of information there.
True.
But if they, let's say they work together, there's no better way than to secure a hangout, then, hey, we're already together. We get off work at the same time. So, yeah, we'll go to the movies or whatever, and then you see it on Instagram. By the way, get off it. Don't stop basing. Stop putting your rank and all this dependent on a social media post. You got to take it. You take your friendship by the horns and get going.
Friendship is difficult, and this person just seems to be making it much more difficult.
Yeah.
Yes. You know, adding too many layers to already
because
complicated.
Because we're dudes. If this, you know what? I don't even know. Is this a woman?
I think that everybody should do this. I think every single person listening right now should stop texting all the people that they text on a daily basis and just see who says, like, hey, see who those people are that would text you back. Because let's say I don't text any person except for my wife on an every single day basis. I'll go a couple of days without texting the kids. You know what I mean? So if you want to find out where you stand, if I didn't text my wife, she'd text me. Hey, what's up? You okay? Everything good?
What'd I do?
Where you been? Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So there are people in your life that would probably need to find out why you haven't texted them if you text every day.
Right.
If you don't expect to be missed within a few days.
Right.
Because people's lives are busy outside of whatever they do with you.
Yeah, yeah. And that's the thing. I was thinking this the other day, and I thought, and literally, I thought I was a genius for thinking this. What you do with your wife, let's say you don't text for a couple days and you're kind of like, oh, is everything okay? It's kind of a sensitive thing to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
Dudes can't be real sensitive with each other.
It's true.
Dudes can't be like women to other dudes, but dudes can be like women to women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
You know
what
I mean?
Good point.
And women can be like women to women and dudes.
Yeah.
Which explains some of them sometimes getting beaten
and
up.
There's some woman out there. Yeah, that's
because if nondescript person acts like a dude to a dude, there's a chance you might get beat up. And if regardless if you're a woman or a dude. So that's the only time, and guys really need sometimes that outlet to be like a woman.
To be sensitive,
and they can only do it to a woman.
Let their feelings out.
As a guy, you can't call another guy and just be like, hey, what's up? I just wanted to talk.
Right.
See what's going on. Just gossip a little bit, you know.
I would think you were having a stroke if you did that.
Yeah, right. Like, what's going on here now? Yeah. And
so you're transitioning?
Guys don't call each other unless there's like a point. Quick one. And it's like, I'm driving. I can't text her.
Right.
You know, because I'd wreck my car right now.
Exactly.
Beer, house, now.
Right.
Yeah.
Done. Yeah. Easy.
Yeah.
This is all great advice, I think. This is all great points that we're making, but all of it makes no sense because this is a woman.
Okay.
You're on your own.
Because women do things purposefully.
Yeah.
If you have,
so it's all women that you're texting.
Yes. So if
there's no casualness.
No. No.
Yeah.
So
they're doing it on purpose.
Let's take dude who decides to do the experiment of not texting, and dude sees on Instagram the other dudes hanging out.
Yeah.
I mean, you might be a little like, but as a dude, you probably just be like, all right, well then, yeah, okay, I'll have to text to do the hangout. Now a woman doing that. Looking at Instagram, seeing other women, there are other women friends frolicking around. I can't help but say that there's definitely an angle.
There's some spite.
Yeah. You're the one.
Yeah.
You are the one. There's always one, right?
There's always one they can't stand to be around.
You're
She's
it.
She's bringing it down.
You're it.
You're the chronic broken heel of the party.
Make some friends.
Probably that you're prettier than the other two.
Ooh,
as
that's
well.
Possible,
that's
too.
Because
okay.
attractive women always like to keep the ugly one around, too.
Send us a photo
on
the next email just to see.
We'll judge you live.
Could be nude, could be not. I don't know. Just make some friends at the Slurpee King that you work at.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Easy
Get some
market.
Ugly friends, all right?
Yeah.
And they will be desperate to hang around you.
Exactly. Boom. That's why pretty girls date ugly guys. So then other guys is like, I can get her.
I can get that.
You know, because those super, super pretty girls, they hardly ever get asked out.
Mm-hmm.
And when they do, it's really ugly guys.
Yeah.
Because they didn't have a chance anyway in anybody else.
I feel that's a big urban thing around here. It's nothing but like Adonis men walking around with these gargoyles. They should just be perched atop a library.
And the very pretty girls coming out of school jump on with some 30-something-year-old already established, you know what I mean, ready to make babies.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Hey, this misogynistic question brought to you by Laura Lindley, attorney at law, and of course, Hochatown Distilling Company and Mountain Fort Brewery.
I recommend you sue your friends with the services provided.
Yeah.
Your ex-friends.
That's right.
Take custody.
Yeah.
Your friends.
Yeah. That's right.
Have a reverse restraining order. Like they have to be within 100 feet of you at all times. And if there's anybody who can make it happen, Laura Lindley,
attorney at law. That's right. Well, shout out to everybody in Hochatown Distilling Company and Mountain Fork Brewery, the speakeasy, all that. We're looking at making some things, big things, moving like a Sasquatch out there. So we're going to do it. And other than that, that's it, man. We're going to catch y'all next week.
Peace.
Goodbye.